Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Mouthing Off with Mike, the only wrestling podcast that cannot absolutely take the ratings conversation when it comes to professional wrestling. We're going to touch on that one, a topic that I have avoided on this podcast for going on almost a year now. The year anniversary of Mouthing Off with Mike is coming up soon, so stay tuned from a big announcement for the year celebration. As well, we do have some housekeeping items and some big news here from Mouthing Off with Mike. Ladies and gentlemen, if you follow me on my socials at MOWM_podcast, you'll know that we are officially an affiliate with SeatGeek. SeatGeek, your premier ticket partner for those events. And especially right now, we've got a big event coming up at the beginning of April with WrestleMania. So if you're still in the market for SeatGeek and you're looking for tickets, head over to SeatGeek. Use my code MOWM for $20 off your first purchase. That link and code will be in the description of this episode as well. I'm also a WWE Shop affiliate. That'll be in the link down below of this description. And Dubby, if you're not familiar with Dubby Energy, it is a really great energy drink here. I've got my my Dubby shaker bottle for when I need that energy. I just chugged it right here before I started recording. Dubby's another great affiliate and partner here of Mouthing Off with Mike. So make sure you check out that link. If you use MOWM10, you get 10% off your order with my code. So that's it for the housekeeping items. As for this week in wrestling, we're going to talk about Monday Night Raw. We got Seth and Drew opening the show. We've got an hour of just women and we got to talk NXT, Friday Night SmackDown, and of course, AEW, and the boss getting a promotion to CEO. And of course, the final mouth off, where we're going to get into this nonsensical Nielsen ratings conversation. Stay tuned. It's time, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking Monday Night Raw. We are officially 20. By the time this episode comes out, we'll be like 22 days away from WrestleMania. And oh my goodness, it feels like just yesterday we were 60 days away. You know, we were all just waiting for things to play out and we were just kind of picking daisies and strolling through the field, and now WrestleMania is on the doorstep. What a way to kick off Monday Night Raw with Seth freaking Rollins, the world heavyweight freaking champ, with Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre and Seth are telling this story, and I got into this conversation with Mike on Drop the Mic this past Wednesday, so if you didn't catch Drop the Mic, go check it out on the Tobacco Road Sports Radio YouTube. As well, if you're listening to this on the Tobacco Road Sports Radio, shout out to my more North Carolinians out in the Triad. Look, I said it with Mike that WWE have played this story perfectly. Everyone's saying, well, the world title's taking a back seat. That's the point. They're showing you the perspective and the POV of Seth Rollins heading to WrestleMania with this story. They're telling you, look, Seth's helping Cody with the bloodline because he is so obsessed with the bloodline. He can't get over it. Michael Cole did an interview with Cody on Raw tonight and even planted more seeds of doubt for Cody and saying, look, Seth is the only person, whether be it disqualification, has beat Roman. People are forgetting Baron Corbin. We're not going to get there. And Cody's like, look, it is what it is. I have to win this. I can't give the title to Dusty. I can give it to my mother who's here. You know, he cries. We get the emotional Cody. My girlfriend, she calls Cody an emotional bean. That's the best way to put it. He's so good. Those acting classes really paid off all those years ago. But what they're telling you with Seth and Drew is like, look, you're seeing it from Seth's angle. He's brushing Drew off. He even says it. You're the last thing I'm worried about on my list of worries. And that comes after my blown out knee and my messed up back. Whoo! And he incites Drew, and Drew doesn't lay a hand on him. Doesn't happen. Man, when Drew wins that title at WrestleMania, it is going to be crazy. But we have to note, Drew's starting to sound more and more like a hypocrite, and the character of the realist, who's just calling things for what they are and applying logic to what's happening, is now becoming that full-blown hypocrite. Keep an eye on the progression of Drew's character. I really love it. Ladies and gentlemen, you heard me say it. I actually put it on social media. People were mind blown. They didn't even realize it. The first hour and about 20 minutes only had women's matches on Monday Night Raw. And this is a fact, and this is a point that I have driven home on Mouthing Off with Mike since day one, since episode zero. Why can't you have more women's matches on Raw? Why can't you give the women 10 minutes instead of 5 minutes? Becky and Liv had a 20, 25 minute, you know, with the commercials, yada, yada, blah, 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 blah. They had a great, fantastic match on Monday Night Raw. Liv and Becky have great chemistry. They've showed it many a time. They told callbacks to their first interactions. Becky gets the win here. Everything said and done. Nia jumps Becky and Liv backstage. Sets up Becky and Nia in a last woman standing match next week on Raw. Sheesh. And mommy, Rhea Ripley, was like, Becky, I want you healthy. I don't want to hear any excuses. But Becky's not going to take that. She's a fighter, man. The Irish last kicker may be gone, but Becky, it's still inside, as they say. I'm a big advocate for splitting the tag titles, ladies and gentlemen. I posted this on social media. I said this 2 months ago. Split the tag titles. The big announcement Pierce and Aldis are alluding to this whole week going into Raw. Split the tag titles. Everybody's running wild with theories and, oh, they're splitting. I myself was like, they got to be splitting the tag titles. What's the only announcement? None of us, and myself included, fail to think they're just going to announce the match for the tag titles, which in fact is what they do. Ladies and gentlemen, we're getting a six-pack ladder match. That rhymes. For the Undisputed Tag Team titles. Finn Balor and Damian Priest will defend those titles against five other teams. There will be qualifying matches on Raw, on SmackDown in the next couple weeks to determine who those teams will be. It looks like we're going to get three teams from Raw, and it looks like we're going to get two teams from SmackDown, possibly, because they announced three matches for the tag titles and the qualifiers. You got Awesome Truth taking on Indusheer. You've got DIY taking on the Creed Brothers. There was only two matches. So it looks like you're going to have three and three teams. Sorry, math. I had a moment there. So you're going to have three from Raw, three from SmackDown. DIY and the Creed Brothers going up against each other absolutely pains me because I want both of those teams in that match, but I'm sure there'll be some sort of last-minute qualifying for both Raw and SmackDown teams. We'll see how this plays out, but I have a funny feeling. I said this on Drop the Mic. A lot of podcasters, a lot of Twitter, internet wrestling people have the theory that two teams will grab the tag titles and that's how they'll split them at WrestleMania. That's cheap booking in my opinion, but at least the tag titles would be split finally. We had Ivy and Maxine taking on Indy and Candice LeRae. And if you've been keeping up with Candice LeRae, she has gotten quite the attitude on her. That Poison Pixie moniker is starting to be more poison than Pixie. She backs Maxine up into a corner and absolutely bullies her. Dare I say we should be calling Candice LeRae Candice Cage because she channels her inner Christian Cage and makes a reference to Maxine's dead brother, saying that he would be ashamed if he saw her and the girls in the locker room hate her and that's why the fans boo her. Now, if you're not familiar, I'll give you the spark notes. Maxine at a live show was booed relentlessly by fans who thought it was funny to boo the girl who's trying to actively improve in the ring. Now, hear me out. It's not a boo because she was a bad character or a heel. It was a boo because they think that she sucks. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there have been wrestlers that have picked up wrestling fast. There have been wrestlers that haven't picked up wrestling fast. I'd probably be in the latter there. If I hopped in a ring, it'd probably take me some time to learn how to wrestle. And that would be for most of fans and people who watch wrestling. At the end of the day, it was a little bit uncalled for, but WWE and Triple H, they're geniuses. He's so smart. He's been bleeding these real-life discourses and these internet wrestling discourses into television with Monday Night Raw, SmackDown, and NXT. Anytime something is referenced or there's some sort of massive argument on the internet wrestling community, mainly Twitter. It gets somehow bled through to WWE programming. So Triple H, I know you got the burner account out there. I got some good fantasy booking ideas, I'm just saying. I love this. I think this is great. I think this is a great way to get Ivy, Maxine, and Indy and Candice on TV for the next couple weeks heading into WrestleMania. I think it's a great idea to the severely underrated Candice LeRae to get some television airtime and an actual story she can sink her teeth into. I'm all for it, man. Women's tag titles were on the line. Kabuki Warriors defended against Shayna and Zoe. Solid match here. Another women's match. This was fantastic stuff. Shayna and Zoe were unable to get the win thanks to Dakota Kai interfering. We're getting Bayley and Dakota Kai on SmackDown this week. I'm excited for it. It should be intense. We'll talk more about it when we get to SmackDown and how everything plays out here. We've got our last Rock appearance here for SmackDown as well, so I'm sure he's going to have something crazy to say. But good match on the women's tag titles. Looks like the Kabuki Warriors will probably be defending those titles in a multi-woman tag team match, similar to probably what we're going to see with that six-pack ladder match challenge for the men's tag title. So keep an eye on that. Andrade and the Judgment Day. It looks like Andrade might be in agreement with the Judgment Day on some business dealings. He's all about his business. R-Truth is the one who came up with the idea for the ladder match, and Damian Priest took extra offense to that. So Priest and R-Truth have a match. Priest gets the win. DIY make the save. It's going to be very interesting because DIX or Regeneration X. R-Truth thinks Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa are Shawn Michaels and Triple H. It kills me. I love silliness like this. I'm in the minority of wrestling fans that love goofy stuff. I think that's why I love NXT, because it's like a CW show, and that's funny because they are going to CW, but neither here nor there. Good stuff here. Raw up to this point has been very enjoyable. The last 45 minutes, ladies and gentlemen, of Monday Night Raw was going to be the gauntlet match to determine the Ring General Gunther's number one contender for WrestleMania. And we had seen a lot of these awesome, intense promos from Chad Gable where he was going to run the gauntlet, but he actually entered the gauntlet last. Sami Zayn, for the most part, ran the gauntlet. He came in the middle of the pack. Ricochet and JD McDonough started. Ricochet eliminated JD McDonough. Bronson Reed then came out and eliminated Ricochet. Sami Zayn was then in the match. He eliminated Bronson Reed. Nakamura came out. Zayn eliminated Nakamura. And then that is when Chad Gable made his entry into the match. And Sami and him had a fantastic match here to end Monday Night Raw and this gauntlet match. I was out of my seat numerous times here at home watching the match, and it's very rare for me to jump out of my seat when I'm watching wrestling at home. A couple rare occasions, obviously CM Punk's return a few months ago. But yeah, what a story they've been able to tell with Chad Gable. Chad Gable was unsuccessful in his quest to head to WrestleMania, so this is going to add more layers to Chad Gable. I was fine with either of these guys. Sami Zayn is going to take on Gunther at WrestleMania for the Intercontinental Championship. That just tells me that Gunther will retain at WrestleMania and his record-breaking title run will continue. Chad, I think that's coming down the line. I think that's your SummerSlam Cleveland match. That's your moment right there. Or they decide to go in a different direction, and because of the Chad Gable hype, they may slot him in Money in the Bank, and maybe he's your Money in the Bank winner. We know Sammy wants the World Heavyweight Championship, though it doesn't make sense for him to laterally go to the Intercontinental Championship. But Gunther has elevated that title to the point where you could argue that the Intercontinental Championship is more of a world title than the World Heavyweight Championship was for a bit. Because you didn't have two separate titles. You only had one. Roman was holding both. That's when we got the World Heavyweight title, we established a new main card title. Raw, really good stuff here. NXT, oh boy, do we got a lot to talk about. I'm going to say it again this week, ladies and gentlemen. If you sleep on NXT, then guess what? You better wake up. You better wake up, because NXT has been firing all cylinders. Honestly, man, I love NXT. It is a perfect mesh for sports entertainment, wrestling, and pure comedy. There's so many funny moments that happen on NXT. There's so many shocking moments. There's moments of love. And on NXT tonight, I dare I say I have to steal the Virginia is for Lovers moniker here, because NXT, it looks like, is for lovers as well. It also looks like NXT is for pop in the trunk because the Don, Tony D, was enjoying family business and family meal here with the family. He's got Luca Crucifini, the newest lawyer, the newest consigliere to the family. We got Stax, the underboss, and we got the kid, the Riz, Adriana Rizzo. They have added such a great dynamic to the family for the Don. I'm biased. Yes, you know, your resident podcast host here is an Italian-American, so I absolutely love it. Heard it many times. I'm delusional. The Don's winning the NXT title. Ilya Dragunov's going to the main roster, and he's going to have himself a wonderful career. The Don's going to win the NXT title at Stand and Deliver in Philly, because what better place for the Don to win the title? Super entertaining. Ilya gets brought to the bridge where maybe we admitted to some things we shouldn't have admitted to Don, but that's okay. We got the lawyer now. We got the consigliere. It's all good. This is going to be a great match between the two. People sleep on Tony D. And obviously, I'm someone that immediately latched onto him because every time you've had, you know, Italian characters in wrestling, they're usually jokes. They're usually big jokes, and they never taken it to like the serious. There have been some, but like it never really worked. They ended up becoming jokes and a parody of what they wanted them to be. And you know, you can say in part to a few different parties involved when it comes to creative decisions there, but neither here nor there. It's so great to see that we've gotten away from doing those tropes, but we're doing the Godfather trope. You know, we're doing the Mafia trope, which is, it's working because the NXT stories and the production that they have there is very, you know, low budget, you know, TV movie. And it works so wonderfully here. The NXT tag division is heating up. We're going to have some matches that will determine who will take on in a triple threat to determine the Wolf Dogs or the Spear of Days number one contenders. It's going to be very good in that regard. Gigi Dolin and Ariana Grace had a viral moment this week. Ariana Grace hit Gigi Dolin with a low blow. Gigi Dolin then hit her with a very, very obvious low blow that the ref saw, disqualified Gigi for. First time, I could say, or maybe one of the few times that a women's match ended in a low blow disqualification. Gigi Dolin took to Twitter then to go ahead and say, yes, it does in fact hurt. And yes, I did in fact ask my girlfriend, yes, it does hurt. Obviously, as guys, we know that that does hurt when you get hit there. Gigi Dolin then took to Twitter after this match and had this tweet. And this is what she had to say about the low blow. I'll pop it up here. At least I'll have this memory of the time I turned your roast beef into a smash burger. Good night. This man, she's a menace, bro. She's an absolute menace for that. Took your roast beef and turned it to smash burger. I was crying. Guys, I was crying. I was sitting at the dinner table. I was enjoying my dinner. And I saw this. And I cried. I laughed so hard. She's hilarious for this. And we got Trick Willie at the end of the show, ladies and gentlemen. We got Trick Willie. We had Ridge and Sean Spears. Good match here. Love Sean Spears. Great presentation. Great revitalization of Sean Spears here. And Trick Willie to end the show, cutting promos, telling Mello he need a step stool to get to his level, even with the ludicrous afro, man. Great. Trick Willie's so good on the mic. Trick Willie, really, if you look back at the Trick Mello run, Trick really was a great mouthpiece for Mello. Mello's good on the mic, but Trick was just something. There was something special, and he really turned it up to 11 for Mello. Their feud is going to be incredible. The match has officially been made. NXT, Stand and Deliver, WrestleMania Saturday morning. Trick Williams taking on him, Carmelo Hayes. Trick Williams ends the show with a little beef with the metaphor. Looks like next week we're going to get Trick Williams versus Noam Dar. Should be a solid match. But Trick Williams grabs Lash Legend, what can only be described as a scene out of a Hallmark love story, grabs Lash Legend, tips her, and plants a big old wet kiss on Lash Legend to end NXT. And that girl, she was, whew, her heart was racing. Now, if you don't know, they are actually dating in real life. So shout out to them. Shawn Michaels, what are you cooking up in NXT, and why do I enjoy it so much? The words of the great Pat McAfee, it's time to get into Friday Night SmackDown. Ladies and gentlemen, Friday Night SmackDown is coming at you from Memphis, Tennessee, and we've got the board of director himself, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, kicking off SmackDown with a rock concert. Oh boy, ladies and gentlemen, this was awesome. Yes, I am in fact on the Cody Rhodes train. I want Cody Rhodes to win at WrestleMania, but I gotta keep it 100 with you. Very entertained at the Rock concert. The Rock dropped a 10-minute promo on social media, keeping in line with kind of what he's been doing these last couple of weeks since coming back. You know, he dropped like the 30-minute long version. He dropped the 15-minute long version. Tonight, we got about a 15-20-minute Rock promo with the Rock concert, of course. He makes some references to Stardust. He tells, you know, says Dusty Rhodes didn't expect his kid to be so weird. If it wasn't for drugs and cheap condoms. He goes on to call Seth Rollins the living embodiment of cringe, and that his wife is more popular than him, and that he's going to take that title and disappear. Could The Rock take on Seth Rollins for the World Heavyweight Championship post-WrestleMania? A lot of people sleeping on that fact. The Rock may get the world title from Seth, but I doubt it. He's got a whole movie thing he's got coming out, so there's a strong possibility that's not in the cards, but something to keep an eye on. We also got a reference to Ja Morant of the Memphis Grizzlies, because there's a whole spectacle with him on Instagram with a gun, and we got that. And then Rock addresses the Cody crybabies, and he finishes everything, and he calls himself the final boss. I love this. He's the final boss, but Roman's the tribal chief. And The Rock just acknowledged Roman, right? He, you know, he hit us from one of these with the one, but then he threw up the thumb and with a finger and thumb and the shape of an L on your forehead. He's hitting us with a little smash mouth. Hey now, at the end of the day, the final boss line is gonna really be something a lot of people are gonna hang on and kind of keep an eye on heading into WrestleMania. I love the opening of this everything, and he finishes the promo with what more can you say except you're welcome? You know, the line from Moana, what can I say except you're welcome? And he says it in this like almost intimidating voice, you know, like in the movie, if you ever see Moana, it's like very like upbeat and lovey and happy. And then this was like, I'm going to end you. I love it. Good stuff here. Great way to kick off SmackDown. We got LWO taking on Legado del Fantasma in the first round of the WWE Undisputed Six-Pack Ladder Match Challenge Brackets. You know, we're going to see multiple matchups over these next couple weeks to determine who will be in the match at WrestleMania on which side of the brands. We got LWO versus Legado. Legado's moving on in the quest to WrestleMania. I don't know how they're playing this out if Legado is in the match, you know, so that makes that that makes a Legado and the Judgment Day are in it already. And then, you know, you're filling out the rest of the spots. I don't know what they're doing on this. So they're going to have like some big match at the, I don't know that the way they spoke about it on SmackDown, you know, the first round of brackets. And then next week we'll see more matchups on SmackDown. And, you know, of course this week, the first on Raw, when we get into the following week on Raw. We also got AJ Styles and LA Knight confirmed their match will take place at WrestleMania. A lot of people upset. Well, LA Knight, I thought it was, you know, almost a sure thing he was going to take on Logan Paul at WrestleMania for the U.S. title. They teased it a few times. The direction they went in here with AJ Styles, for me personally, was the right decision. AJ Styles is the phenomenal one for a reason. Dare I say there was a point 2016, 17, 18, where AJ Styles was carrying WWE. This is a great first WrestleMania match for LA Knight. Yeah. They're going to tear the house down already with great promos. AJ hits him with a chair and then sits on the chair on top of him. And then he cuts a digital exclusive video saying that he's not showing up to SmackDown for the next couple weeks. We've seen Triple H and Shawn Michaels particularly go into their greatest hits in the past. We've seen it with the Damage Control story, very, very reminiscent to Evolution and the way they ended up splitting things. We saw Shawn Michaels do a little bit of that with Carmelo Hayes and kind of some symbolism when Michaels kicked Jannetty through the barbershop window. Would not be surprised if we got ourselves a redo or an ode to the good old Triple H, Randy Orton home invasion, or, dare I say, a lot of people forget this one, the Edge home invasion of John Cena Sr.'s house. Would not be shocked. LA Knight breaks down AJ Styles' house doors and wreaks absolute havoc. Yeah. We got Jimmy accepting the challenge from Jay to that match at WrestleMania, so it's no Yeet versus Yeet. It's brother versus brother. It's me versus me. It's Uso versus Uso. Going to be a great match. Jimmy cuts a really intense promo. I'm excited to see which night this takes place on. I have a feeling night one would be the move, but I wouldn't be shocked if they threw it on night two with, you know, since Roman and the rest of the bloodline is going to be on night two. We got RKO Central here with Randy Orton taking on Grayson Waller. Waller goes for his rolling stunner. Randy hits him with an RKO, 1-2-3. After the match, Logan Paul, who is on commentary, who's looking for an apology from Randy Orton, does not get that. Theory tries to jump Randy. KO makes the save. Theory gets hit with a crazy stunner RKO combo. Theory's ridiculously unserious with these sells. He took the stunner, feet planted on the ground, then jumped after it into the RKO. Hysterical. I love stupid things like that. Like, just ridiculous over-the-top selling. A lot of people upset about a cartwheel Canadian destroyer that took place on Rampage. Wah, wah. It's fun. Wrestling's fun, please. But because Logan Paul wants to be a pain in the absolute butt to Nick Aldis, Nick Aldis says, I've decided who your WrestleMania opponent is. Actually, I misspoke. I've decided who your WrestleMania opponents will be. Opponents. Logan Paul, ladies and gentlemen, will defend the United States Championship against the Viper, Randy Orton, and Mr. Fight Owens Fight himself, Kevin Owens, in a triple threat match for the U.S. title at WrestleMania. Ooh, baby. Yes, sir. I like it. Uh-huh. Nick Aldis doing spectacular in this role of GM. Hands down, great signing. Can't wait to the inevitable Nick Aldis versus Logan Paul match. Watch for that one. I'm calling that one here on the show tonight. Rey Mysterio is going to challenge Santos Escobar to a match next week on SmackDown after Santos Escobar beats Dragon Lee in about a match that was about 2 minutes. A little upsetting about that. I figure LWO Legado is going to be the match at WrestleMania. Now, if Legado is in the ladder match for the tag titles, then I could see potentially Rey, Carlito, or Rey and Dragon Lee versus Santos and somebody else if they were to add somebody to Legado, or it's going to just be Rey versus Santos. Hope LWO somehow makes WrestleMania because Joaquin and Cruz have been putting in the work, showing up in NXT as well, playing double duty weekly. So I hope LWO gets on the WrestleMania card. I really hope so. We got Elton Prince and Kit Wilson, Pretty Deadly, Yes Boy, taking on New Catch Republic, Tyler Bate, and Pete Dunne, the Bruiserweight. Solid match here. New Catch Republic moving on in the tournament for the tag titles for the WrestleMania ladder match. I'm not sure if all these teams are going to end up having a match to decide who's in and what. Like I said, things are still kind of getting fleshed out with that. It seems so far we've got the Judgment Day and Legado in that match. WWE is starting to promote fan signs on television. So WWE is actively trying to get more signs in the building, similar to what we used to see during the Attitude Era when they do the big pan shot and everybody and their mother had a crowd sign. I'm in the minority about this, man. I pay good money to go to wrestling shows, and I love a good sign, but sometimes you go to a show, and a lot of fans can attest to this, sometimes you just get that one fan that, no matter where they're sitting, you could be in a spot that's not going to be on camera whatsoever. They got to show that sign every 2 minutes, and they just block all your view, and you can't see it, and you got to watch half the show from the Jumbotron, and it's like, you paid all this money. As long as the sign thing doesn't become like everybody just holds up their sign the whole show, because I've been in shows that people do that, and I'm just like, come on, man, have some consideration. Most wrestling fans get it when it comes to signs. Show it quick, put it down. But there are always the bad apples in the bunch, like always. But it'd be cool very much to see a crowd panning at WrestleMania and you just see a sea of signs. I wouldn't be opposed to it. It'd look really awesome. The women are main eventing on SmackDown. So the women main evented on Dynamite this week. The women are main eventing on SmackDown. Bayley taking on Dakota Kai in a grudge match, which ends in a no disqualification thanks to Damage Control attacking Bayley. Naomi comes out to try to make the save, but unfortunately, the numbers game was that they were at a disadvantage here. Crowd chanting EST, expecting Bianca to come out. You better be, you're off your rocker if you think Bianca Belair is going to help Bayley. She was victimized. Victimized for the entire summer, for the entire year of 2023. Absolutely. Damage Control, she does not care what happens to Bayley. She said, reap what you sow, girl. She hits you with the girl, to Naomi last week. She didn't even come out. Naomi got beat up. You think maybe Bianca would help Naomi, but even she's like, hey, you want to help her. That's on you. I'm not getting involved. Will there be someone to help Naomi and Bayley? Maybe. Just maybe. Maybe a storm's coming to SmackDown. We'll find out. Notable news that I didn't get to talk about because I did record the final mouth off before SmackDown this week. Shayna Baszler is going to go wrestle in Bloodsport, Josh Barnett's promotion, affiliated with GCW, WrestleMania weekend. Tickets were sold out prior to this announcement, but according to Sean Ross Sapp of Fightful, multiple WWE superstars are supposed to be showing up at Bloodsport. I tried to get tickets. It's almost impossible. But that's some notable news here. We're going to go ahead and hit into AEW and everything going on in the world of All Elite Wrestling, like the boss is now the CEO. It's Wednesday. You know what that means, ladies and gentlemen. We're in Boston for AEW Big Business. And ladies and gentlemen, no spoiler alert at all here, because we all knew it was coming. Mercedes Moné is All Elite. And ladies and gentlemen, if you caught me on Drop the Mic this week, I'll say it again. I nailed this down to a T. Mercedes Moné, Dynamite opens. The announcers bring us in. The pyro hits. The video, the new video, new pyro, everything. Stage, ring looks dope. Here comes a Maybach, comes in the back. Door opens. We cut to the ring. The music hits, ladies and gentlemen. CEO, 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 the boss got a promotion to CEO. Mercedes Moné will be now known as the CEO of All Elite. Her promo, she goes on to say how grateful she is if she couldn't do it without the fans, you know, Tony Khan, the love, the support of everyone. There was a point where she didn't think her career was going to go on any longer when she got hurt. She's just so thankful to be here. She looked fantastic. Her hair was done. She had All Elite CEO, kind of similar to how like Naomi does hers. This was a fantastic debut. I love the way they did it. We didn't have to sit on bated breath waiting and waiting and waiting for what we knew was coming from the beginning. Very similar to CM Punk's debut. We knew he was coming. Why not start the show hot? A lot of people, and I got into it a little bit here on Twitter. I wouldn't say into it, but open for discussion. I'm always open to a good debate. But for people to sit there and say, well, Dynamite, you know, wasn't good this week, or it wasn't properly structured, I don't see what kind of structure do you want? You know, do you want it to maintain hurricanes? Like, what kind of structure are you looking for? because Dynamite to me was very enjoyable. Her kicking off the show is a great moment. That's a great moment for the fans, her friends, her family in attendance. We know Bayley and Naomi and Tamina were in attendance for it. Also, the people saying that they should be fired for going to her friend's thing, go touch grass, go enjoy the warmth of a female or male. You know, we don't discriminate. Love is love. Nevertheless, go out there and get some help because they're friends, dude. We live in an era of professional wrestling where friends are supporting their friends in other companies, but fans on the internet can't support a wrestler wrestling for another company because they didn't go back to the company that they wanted them to go to. So you can't be happy. A lot of people complained about Edge going to AEW. Why is he going to AEW? He's going to ruin his legacy, yada, yada, yada. Why did he go to AEW? Because he still had more in the gas tank. He felt he could contribute to the youth in that side of the business. So why not? You people would have been ruined if this was the WCW era, you know, in the Monday Night Wars, when wrestlers were hopping back and forth. You guys would have been losing your minds. Why did Razor Ramon and Kevin Nash leave? Why did they go to WCW? Oh my God. Like, is that what it would have been like? Come on, man. Get a grip. Great debut. Great everything here. Dynamite was spectacular. Joe versus Wardlow, a little bit low on this match. I felt that Wardlow could have had a better... I felt that Wardlow could have definitely been given a better time focus on his offense. Joe puts him to sleep at about, I'd say, 12 minutes max. Good match overall. Was not believable that Wardlow was going to beat Joe. I'm not sure what they're going to do with Wardlow, man. I don't want to say it, but it's like, it's stop and go with him. And he even referenced this a few weeks ago. So I really hope something gets figured out. There's a backstage segment of Alex Marvez with the Young Bucks trying to get a word with the Elite, the new Elite, with, of course, Kazuchika Okada, the Rainmaker. And Nicholas and Okada make it known that it is Matthew Jackson's birthday and to wish your EVP a happy birthday. So Alex goes ahead and wishes him a happy birthday. But Okada's like, No, sing it. I cried. I was laughing so hard at that delivery from Okada. Okada being on US Television Weekly is going to be fantastic. Look, if you're a wrestling fan, if you're like a hardcore wrestling fan like me, you know Okada. If you're not and you're a fan of AEW, you're a casual wrestling fan, you tune into Wednesday nights and you know, you want to just be entertained for a few hours, you're going to fall in love with this Okada guy. I'm telling you right now, you're going to love this guy. He's so charismatic. Yes, you know, he doesn't speak amazing English, but neither do a lot of wrestlers, and they're super entertaining. Shinsuke, Asuka, Io, Kairi Sane, and Okada is one of them as well. Okada has such charisma. I love him. He's the Rainmaker for a reason. They even referenced that, you know, with I got 14 million reasons why Okada signed here. Fantastic stuff. They go on to have a 6-man tag match. Okada taking on Eddie Kingston, Pac, and Penta El Zero Miedo. Okada pins Eddie. We're going to see them two go at it for the Intercontinental Crown next week on Dynamite. That more than likely spells Eddie will be dropping that title to Okada. Eddie also has a Ring of Honor World Championship match against Mark Briscoe at Ring of Honor Supercard of Honor WrestleMania weekend. So it looks like the Triple Crown thing is going to stop for a little bit. I'm okay with it. I'm excited to see Eddie and Okada. That's going to be a damn good match. We got Darby Allin taking on Jay White in a fantastic match. I tweeted it. That match was for the Jay White crowd that is worried about Jay White and being buried and being lost in the shuffle. That was your don't worry about Jay White, he's fine moment. Great match with Darby. Darby is a lunatic, man. He's not even 2 weeks off of going through broken glass and doing that whole thing. And he's out here doing coffin drops to the floor and he's getting destroyed. Jay White gets the win after the match. The Bang Bang Gang is going to attack Darby. The Acclaim come out. They're like, no, we're not doing this. Billy Gunn's like, dude, what the hell's wrong with you? What are you doing here? And Jay White hits the ass man, Billy Gunn, with a chair. The Bang Bang Scissor Gang has been cut. No more are these two teams forming a super faction? More than likely, at Dynasty or Dynamite in a couple weeks, we're going to probably see the Acclaimed versus the Bang Bang Gang to unify the Trios Championship with the Ring of Honor six-man championship. So more than likely taken on, and that's going to probably happen. Darby is going to climb Mount Everest. Darby, please come back safely. You're too good of a pro wrestler. I don't think Everest is ready for you. Ospreay cuts an impassioned promo that he is the feeling back in AEW, and we've got Hook and Jericho versus the Gates of Agony. Oh, man, Hook and Jericho win. Gates of Agony looks so cool. I really wish they would stop using them as just fodder for other tag teams because they're super talented, dude. They're so good. Hook and Jericho are going to have an FTW championship match next week on Dynamite. And going back into this whole ratings conversation that I'm going to get into in the final mouth-off, Dynamite's ratings were really solid throughout if you look at the graphs and you really care about the graphs. But in Kevin Durant's words, why do I care about graphs when I just want to hoop, when I want to watch the hoop? This was the lowest rated segment of the night. And I said this last week, man. I love Chris Jericho. I'll always be a big fan of Chris Jericho's. Let me go ahead and fix that hair. But it's time to transition into a once in a blue moon Chris Jericho sighting. It's time. I don't have an interest in Chris Jericho on Dynamite Weekly, unfortunately. And that's my own opinion. I love Chris Jericho. I say this with the utmost respect. He is incredible. He's an incredible wrestling mind. He's an incredible wrestling talent. And it's incredible that he can do what he can do in his 50s. But something is off and I can't put my finger on it. I can't get invested in it. And I hate to say it, but Hook being locked up with Jericho is going to do the same thing to his momentum that it did to Adam Cole and to Kesta's. And I really hope that's not the case. We'll see what happens. I don't have high hopes for this. And I try to stay very positive with wrestling, especially, but it's not working, unfortunately. We got Willow taking on Rio in the main event of AEW Dynamite. When was the last time the women main evented Dynamite? I'm going to ask you that question. Go Google it, look it up, because it has been quite some time. I don't want to say that that is the Mercedes Moné effect, but that's the Mercedes Moné effect. First night on the job, Willow and Rio are main eventing. Great match from Willow and Rio. Awesome main event. I don't care what your ratings say. You can take those ratings and put them where the sun don't shine, ladies and gentlemen. Great match here. Willow, one of my favorites since I got to discover her with AEW. So thanks to AEW for discovering all of these stars and putting them on weekly television for fans. She also had a fantastic match against Mercedes a few years ago for the New Japan Pro Wrestling Women's Strong Championship, which fortunately Mercedes got hurt and Willow won that match. She held that title for, I think, 2 months and then dropped it. They've got unfinished business. But Mercedes Moné makes the save after Julia Hart and Sky Blue, the House of Black, come to attack Willow. Looks like Mercedes' first match is going to be a tag match with rival Willow to take on Julia Hart and Sky Blue. I said this on Drop the Mic. I said, I feel Serena Deeb, Willow Nightingale, Britt Baker, all good options for the first couple opponents for Sasha, or I should say Mercedes. Looks like we're going to do Sky Blue and Julia Hart with Willow, and looks like Mercedes and Willow will probably have some sort of beef. And then it looks like Mercedes will probably transition to something with Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. She kind of did the little CE and then stopped, like Britt does the DMD. So we'll see what happens there. Mercedes Moné. It's a very controversial topic in professional wrestling right now, and I will talk a little bit about the reception, which was mostly positive, but I did see some negative out there, and I want to talk about it kind of in conjunction with the final mouth-off and the ratings debacle here. So let's get into Rampage, Collision, and then we'll get into the final mouth-off. So for the first time ever, next week, AEW Rampage is going to be the hour after Dynamite. So next week for Dynamite, we're going to get 3 hours of AEW programming on a Wednesday night. That's going to be really awesome. Thanks to March Madness for making it happen. I don't think we're getting Collision. I think Collision is being pushed back. I don't know if we're getting Collision next Saturday because of the March Madness tournament, which I'm excited about. It's going to be a wild tournament. There's already been some wild upsets to happen in these tournaments, going in and making the seeds. We'll find out what everybody, who's in, who's out here this weekend. It's going to be a wild ride here. Make sure you get your brackets filled out before the tournament starts. March Madness is always a fun time when it comes to sports. But before we get to March Madness and the hoops, we got to talk a little bit about those wrestling hoops. We got to talk about AEW Rampage, the fastest hour of professional wrestling, which saw the Undisputed Kingdom take on Top Flight and Auction Andretti in the main event. The Undisputed Kingdom got the win. We also saw Big Takeshita take on Commander. He got the win. Commander actually... Takeshita might be hurt. He's supposed to have a match on Collision that actually got scrapped. So we got to keep an eye on Takeshita here. Fingers crossed. Darby Allin did, in fact, break his foot on Dynamite. So I didn't get to talk about that when I did Dynamite here. But yeah, posted the picture. His foot looks like a balloon. You know what they say about divine intervention, ladies and gentlemen? You know what they say? There's that. I don't know what the theory's called. And if someone knows, please tell me what it is. On social media at MOWM_podcast. There's this theory. It's like, where you're supposed to do something, but then something happens and you don't end up getting to do it. And then like something bad ends up happening. Like the people that were going to be on that flight, that the door flew off and like nobody was in those seats. And the people that were there like missed their flight by like 20 minutes or something because they missed their Uber. I don't know the whole story, but I know a divine intervention is a thing, but there's another theory. I can't think of it off the top of my head. If you know it, please shout it out. So Darby's not climbing Everest, and honestly, thank God. I was very worried that I was going to watch this man wrestle on Dynamite, and then a month later, here he is on Everest, and it's just, you know, tragedy or some nonsense, God forbid. So coincidence? I don't think so. Nevertheless, Best Friends and Dark Order kicked off Rampage, solid tag match. Best Friends got the win. Timeless Toni Storm and Mariah May were in tag action to show that they can team, because they got a tag match against Deonna Purrazzo and her partner, who was revealed to be Thunder Rosa, on Dynamite next week. Collision now, ladies and gentlemen, which is, you know, Saturday night's all right for fighting. Started off the show with Bryan Danielson versus Katsuyori Shibata. And oh my God, these two beat the living hell out of each other. What a banger of a match. What a fantastic match. Dream match. I didn't think it was possible a few years ago. My man Shibata had to have his brain removed. It was the whole thing. Look this up, bro. This man legit had to have like his brain taken out for a stretch and pop back in his head. And Bryan Danielson, we didn't think was ever going to wrestle with a neck injury. So what a miracle for both of these guys. Great match here. I enjoyed it. We got Danny G taking on Lee Moriarty. Another solid match here, ladies and gentlemen, I have to say. Julia Hart taking on Trisha Dora. Trisha Dora, super underrated. I think this year is going to be a breakout year for her. Julia Hart and her, great match. Julia Hart retains. The main event, the Infantry taking on the House of Black. But before we get there, I got to talk about Archer and Claudio in a first-time ever match. Great match here. Claudio got a win. I love it. I would love to have Archer get some more airtime. He's so underrated, dude. He's such a big dude. He's such a beast. He's pretty menacing. He's pretty solid in the ring. And he's paired up with Jake the Snake Roberts. Come on, man. You mean to tell me he couldn't have been an international champion by now? Like, frustrating. Nevertheless, good match here. Happy to see Archer on TV. Infantry, House of Black. We got the bracket. I love that Tony Khan is doing the tag team bracket synonymous with March Madness right now. You got the whole March Madness bracketology. Your brackets get busted if you take a team and they get upset, you know, by the lower seed. So we had a bracket bust, ladies and gentlemen. The lower seed won. We had the wild card matchup here tonight, one of them. House of Black taking on the Infantry. Now, if you're not familiar with the Infantry, they're on Ring of Honor. They're a tag team. Trisha Dora is involved there as well with them. Sean Dean, Captain Sean Dean. I'm a terrible wrestling podcaster. Anyway, forgetting the other dude's name. Sorry, guys. Anyway, Infantry, seen them casually. They're very talented. I've been waiting to see more of the Ring of Honor teams and wrestlers start to get transitioned back to AEW. We're starting to see that now. Trish Adora, and now, of course, with the Infantry. They get the win. They beat House of Black. Big upset already in this tournament. House of Black are out. They were favorites. I thought House of Black and FTR were going to end up meeting again, and then it was going to be Young Bucks versus FTR. That is not the case, it looks like. So at least House of Black, we know their fate, not for the tag titles. So the House did not win tonight. Very unfortunate for the House. Ladies and gentlemen, that's everything this past week in AEW. I know it's been a long episode, but it's time for the final mouth off, ladies and gentlemen. And we got to talk about these ridiculous TV ratings and people using graphs to argue, because why do I want to look at graphs when all I want to do is talk about the hoops? Kevin Durant, the tarantula always got us. It is time for the final mouth off with me, with Mike, ladies and gentlemen. You heard me say it numerous times throughout this episode. You heard me say it on social media. This is a topic that I've avoided on this podcast. Now, if you've been listening or watching the podcast for the beginning, almost a year ago now, it'll be year April 8th. So right after WrestleMania will be the year anniversary of Mouthing Off with Mike. I'm sure there'll be a special stream episode. Maybe it'll just be a best of Mouthing Off with Mike, and just a compilation of all of my silly reactions. But I want to discuss something that I really just don't understand. I've been a pro wrestling fan my entire life. Some of my earliest memories of professional wrestling are watching wrestling while my grandmother, who straight off the boat from Italy, babysat me and my two cousins. Shout out to them. Shout out to you guys. If you guys catch this podcast, which I don't even know if they know I have it or not. Nevertheless, shout out to you guys. We used to watch Monday Night Raw, SmackDown, if my parents were working and, they were coming home late. My grandmother never missed wrestling and Days of Our Life. two shows. Never missed them. And it was something that just, it stuck, man. My dad grew up watching it. My dad used to go to the WWWF shows, at Madison Square Garden, get the tickets, $5, $6, go sit ringside. Saw so many legends. I can't, Coco Beware and the Junkyard Dog and Dusty and Rick and Buddy Rogers. And George the Animal Steel, wrestling is in my blood. It is something I'm super passionate about. But I don't understand as a fan why fellow fans, podcasters, hell, even the experts, they hang on these little graphs of spikes and they break it down into the demographic and the age and the segments and they use this to metaphorically crucify a talent or a wrestling company. Because they didn't hit the demo, or they saw such a drop in this segment to this segment, and they didn't do the 10 o'clock time slot right, and it didn't pop the proper rating, and oh, they signed this big name star, but they didn't even pop a rating. Why do you care? Why do you care? Why? I ask this sincerely to all of you that listen. If you're a fan and you harp on the ratings, why do you care about the ratings of professional wrestling? Did you watch the show? Did you enjoy the show? If you answer yes to both of those questions, then what does it matter if they got 800,000 views, if they got 1 million, if they got 2, if they got 22? Why does it matter? Did you sit for 2 hours or 3 hours in the case of Monday Night Raw, and were you entertained for at least half of that or the whole thing? If you answer yes to those questions and you're a ratings hyper fixator, why? I need to know this. Because Nielsen ratings are so out of date and irrelevant in the current day of media consumption, but for some reason, this is harped on. This past week, we saw the debut in AEW of women's wrestler Mercedes Moné. While most of the fan reception was positive, there was a vast majority of experts and fans that hyper-fixated on the rating for Dynamite, feeling that the ratings during certain segments were lower than they should have been. Now, Mercedes' grand reveal took place in the first segment of the show, which saw a large pop in viewership. Now, as the show progressed, the ratings per segment would dive a little bit per segment, and the lowest would be during the Jericho Hook tag team match, which, honestly, understandable. Go back in the show and listen to my thoughts on everything there. But I just don't understand why it gets harped on. Why do you care if you're a fan? Do those ratings have any bearing on your fandom? Are you going to see that Dynamite did 800,000 this week and did, you know, 600,000 the week before? And you're going to be like, well, now I'm a big Dynamite fan because they finally broke 800,000 viewers. No, you're going to watch the show. You're going to support your show, your wrestlers, and you're going to watch it. You're going to enjoy it. If you don't enjoy it, I'm sure you go on social media and air out your grievances like all of us do. I don't understand it. Nielsen ratings are out of date, ladies and gentlemen. People watch streaming services, Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, the list goes on and on, Peacock. People do not look at Nielsen rating. Normal people, if you watch any cable television, if you watch SWAT, do you go and look and see like what the SWAT rating was for that newest episode and how did they do with the demographics? No. If you're a football fan, if you're an MLB fan, have you ever had a conversation with a fan or a friend that's a rival fan to your team? When it comes to the Eagles or the Cowboys, a prime example, me and Mike of Drop the Mic, he's a Cowboys fan, I'm an Eagles fan. I have never once had a conversation with him where I said, well, the Eagles got a better rating on Monday Night Football than the Cowboys did last week when they were on Monday Night Football and vice versa. That conversation never happened. I've never heard my girlfriend talk about the ratings of Love is Blind on Netflix that, oh, Love is Blind beat The Bachelor. What's wrong with you guys? Stop focusing on stupid things that don't matter. The ratings have no bearing on your fandom. This is a joke. It's subjective. It's made up. You don't know who's watching live, who's watching on DVR, who's watching on the streaming apps, because you can watch TNT and TBS on an app. Same thing with USA Network. Same thing with Fox, if it works every once in a while. So I don't understand why we're getting so hyper-fixated on these ratings, and I see it all the time. And I see it all the time. I don't understand. I try to make this show to be fun, lighthearted. I try to focus on the in-ring action, the talent, the storylines. I don't get into the mud. I don't get into the dirt sheets. I don't get into the rumors. I'll maybe quote on, you know, free agent murmurs and things like that because that's sports, and I try to present this as a sports podcast. But it is entertainment. I try to be funny too. You know, I try not to be too hard. But I just don't understand that. I never once as a fan, as a kid, even as an adult right now, was like, oh, what are the ratings for Monday Night Raw? How'd that do compared to Dynamite? Or what was the ratings for Raw compared to The Bachelor and Monday Night Football? You know Monday Night Football is going to pull like a 20 million number. I don't understand. Why does it matter? I ask this sincerely, fans. If you're a fan and you harp on the ratings and you feel ratings are an indicator of people watching wrestling and growth for wrestling companies, then mouth off with me on social media. Tell me your reasoning as to why you believe that. At @MOWM_podcast. Look, I'm a guy. I'm all about a great debate. What I will not do is argue and get caught in the mud and be involved in bad faith takes just for engagement. I don't do that here. And that's something that I want to address first and foremost. But if the fans in the building are enjoying the show, if they're going crazy, they're cheering, they're invested, they're enjoying it, you at home, you're enjoying it, what does it matter what the ratings of the show are? That's it, ladies and gentlemen. That's everything from this past week in professional wrestling. For the people who are turning on Mercedes Moné, I leave you with the clip of Christian Cage telling Adam Copeland, GFY. And I won't say it because this will air on the Spacco Road Sports Radio. And I don't want to get any sort of FCC violations for them. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're turning your back on Mercedes because she joined AEW instead of WWE or the company you wanted, then, ladies and gentlemen, get help. Simple as that. This has been Mouthing Off with Mike. I'm your host, Mike. Ladies and gentlemen, as I always end every episode, just go out there and enjoy pro wrestlings and stop letting these bad faith engagement podcasters, experts, journalists, fill in the blank, fill your heads that the ratings matter for professional wrestling. Because if you're a fan, they don't matter. Thanks so much for watching. Thanks so much for listening. Check out the links in the description of this episode for all of the sponsors and affiliates here with Mouthing Off with Mike. That's SeatGeek code. Get yourself some tickets to a wrestling show and get $20 off. Thanks so much, everybody. Till next time. Mouthing Off.